This is the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast, episode 104. Good day and welcome to this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, podcaster, and author of Fun Fantasy Reads, Jamie Davis. This podcast is exactly what the title says it is, folks. It's a show, and we focus on everything to do with fantasy books. We talk about urban fantasy, epic fantasy, swords and sorcery, grimdark fantasy, sci-fi in the middle there somewhere. We just want to bring you the best and brightest authors from all the various corners of the fantasy and sci-fi book world. And we do that for you each week. Kicking off things in this episode, I'll just go ahead and get started with my own author update. I'm deep into the writing of the first draft of book 5 in the Huntress Clan saga, titled Huntress Adept. Book 4 is set to come out in just a few weeks on May 5th, so keep an eye out for Huntress Scout. And if you haven't already read the first three books in the series, now's the time to do it. You can check out the entire series over on Amazon. It's available in Kindle Unlimited, and that starts with Book 1, Huntress Initiate. It's a great urban fantasy series with a little bit of a virtual reality twist in there. You can find out more about everything I'm up to, including sneak peeks at upcoming covers, special giveaways, and a lot more by heading over and visiting my fan group on Facebook. And that's Jamie Davis's Fun Fantasy Readers. We check out things over there. We talk about all kinds of fantasy books, not just mine. And I'd love for you to come and join the fun. So check it out. Today on the show, I got to chat with Mercy DeSimone about her new book, a sort of sci-fi fantasy with a romance twist. Mercy is the youngest of six, who's always been a voracious reader. To this day, she has an obsession with Dr. Seuss. She remembers her older sister passing books down to her after she had grown too old for them, some of which, like A Tree Grows in Brooklyn, became lifetime favorites. She liked to sneak some of her mom's racy romance novels as well, starting about when time she was 12. So here's my chat with Mercy on the podcast. Check out her book, Spectral Vibrations, for something exciting and a little different in the sci-fi and fantasy genre. Mercy, I want to welcome you to the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jamie. I am so excited to be here today.
Well, I appreciate that. It's kind of fun. And actually, we sneak in sci-fi authors every now and then. So I'm kind of excited about that because I read a lot of sci-fi in addition to fantasy books. So, and I know a lot of our listeners do too. So it'll be kind of fun to chat with you. Before we get started, why don't you take a few moments and introduce yourself, maybe, and then end up and tell us a little bit about how you got into writing.
Well, that's a really kind of awkward story. So Mercy DeSimone is a pen name, and I do hold down a regular full-time job. I've only been writing for about 2 years now, but I've been a reader forever. Books have always been kind of my solace and my escape. So I read a lot. When we talk about urban fantasy, sci-fi, those have always been a lot of my loves from the early influences. As a writer, this is where it gets a little bit tricky because, like I said, I've been writing for about 2 years. I am primarily a romance writer of the reverse harem variety, which is a little bit out there. And I started doing contemporary with a co-writer. So my first solo was this current book, which is really a mashup of reverse harem, sci-fi, fantasy, romance with a new age twist, which makes it a little bit difficult to pigeonhole, but it just takes all of the different things that I love and mashes them all together into one big tasty stew. So it's been a very interesting journey for me. And I have to say, I love writing. Right now, I'm doing a new contemporary romance, which is a reverse harem. But I also have another new sci-fi fantasy coming out in August that I just did a cover release for called Cadence in Time. And I'm very excited to dig into that one.
Check me if I'm wrong, but I think if you look up reverse harem in Webster's, it does say mixed up in a big tasty stew.
Well, I believe that that is true. And, you know, reverse harem has different levels of heat. So I think there, for me, this has been a little bit interesting because this story that I created as a sci-fi fantasy is almost too sci-fi for my traditional reverse harem readers. And for the true sci-fi fantasy readers and urban fantasy readers, there might be a little too much steam level. So it's a very specific reader for this book. But for the people who can follow me along that path, you know, I always say, and someone wrote it in review, I'm the nerdy girl that just loved sci-fi fantasy. But you know what? I like my romances and I like a little steam with them. And I don't see any reason why we shouldn't be able to do it all and give people everything in one book.
Yeah. And so on a level of heat scale, we're talking like, you know, jalapeno end of the scale and not the ghost pepper end of the scale.
Well, for this, you know, in reverse harem, we talk about pretty much low burn, medium burn, fast burn. I would say this is low to medium burn.
Okay. Considering fair enough.
You know, my contemporary romances tend to be a little more high heat, fast burn, but I don't think that was necessary for a sci-fi fantasy, especially for a first book where you're really focused on world building. And that's the important piece, I think, for sci-fi and fantasy.
So describe reverse harem for people, because I mean, you know, it's, I think some people may have heard the term bandied about. If you're not an author, you may not know what it is at all unless you read it. So to explain to us how reverse harem works.
So reverse harem is generally one female main character with multiple males. The important thing is, you know, some people want to say, oh, reverse harem is erotica or reverse harem is poly relationships. It's not, because all of the men are dedicated in a committed relationship to the one female main character. So that's really what reverse harem is about. So it's generally more than three people, four and up, and it can, like I said, really be still a very low burn. It does not have to have sex on the page in the relationships. There are a lot of reverse harem stories that are fade to black. So it's really just about the reader's comfort level and what they enjoy reading.
Awesome. Now tell us about Tansy, because, you know, first of all, I love the name. So for your main character, it sounds just perfect for this type of a thing. And it just it leaps out at me on the description on the page for the book is, my name is Tansy. This is how I fell to earth. So what's going on with her?
So in this book really has a new age spin. It takes a lot of different things that I've enjoyed throughout my life. When you talk about meditation, crystals, the earth portions of it, it's really a book in three parts. It starts out on earth when Tansy falls to earth from space. And then we go back in time a little bit to the planet Chrysalis to find out the events leading up to her fall. And then we go back to earth and find out what happens once she meets some other characters there. So this is really a story about a world in outer space called Chrysalis, where once upon a time, a supernova exploded near the planet and changed their lives forever. The high radiation caused their bodies to evolve to such an extent that they created or evolved to have this protective coating around their body. It's called silica, and it is a crystalline-like coating. So now it's very interesting, Jamie, because the story kind of reflects where we are right now in history with our social distancing. This is a society that can no longer touch physically. They are all protected in their own little silica or crystalline cocoons. So now, instead of having sexual touch or being able to relate to each other through touch, they relate to each other only through frequency as reflected by their aura and their energy. And they bond and mate and create power bonds through the frequency of their energy. So because it's all based on the RBG scale of Roy G. Biv, which if we go back to our science days is red, orange, yellow, green, Blue, Indigo, Violet, all of the characters are named after gemstones that relate to their aura. So Tansy is actually short for Tanzanite.
Tanzanite.
Because she's a violet empath.
That's awesome. And I'm assuming that since this is a reverse harem, that crystalline coating comes off when she falls to Earth. I'm just guessing.
So, yes, when they go to other planets, then their bodies can anchor. And now they have to experience the world in a totally different way. Where they live on Chrysalis right now, the government does not want them to leave their planet, even though they are really becoming a childless society and they're on a death watch because they can no longer reproduce and recreate new beings into their society. But the government doesn't want them to leave their world because it also doesn't want to lose the best and the brightest that are there to other planets. They're trying to find, Tansy is actually a scientist and part of an elite scientific team that's trying to solve this problem on Chrysalis and find ways to anchor their bodies within their society so that they can live without that crystalline coating.
Let's shift gears a little bit because you did mention the fact that, hey, we're all social distancing right now. Like, you know, I mean, I'm an author. I'm a full-time author, so I write from home all the time. But usually the house is empty, except when my wife comes home from work. And it's a little different now with, like, my wife and my daughter's out of work, so she's home with us now. And it's like a crazily full house. So everybody's kind of dealing with different things. And one of the things that I've seen a lot of authors out there talking about is, you know, this is an opportunity for readers to find new books. And I actually think this is a perfect opportunity for people to try something new, like sci-fi reverse harem, just try something a little different. Because hey, you're stuck at home anyway. Let's see what else you can get into.
I agree 100%. For me, you know, I'm working from home from my regular job and trying to write in between the spaces. But certainly I love to find new authors and I love to find new books. I'm in a lot of different online groups on Facebook where I see a lot of recommendations. I grab books. I am a Kindle Unlimited user as well as, you know, reader. And I put all of my books on Kindle Unlimited because I do believe that that is a great way to meet and read books by newer indie authors. So many of us people would never take a chance on a book if they couldn't at least borrow it first, see if they connect with the story. And then, you know, usually they'll go out and buy it afterwards. That is the great thing about indie readers, is they'll go out and they'll read something on Kindle. And then if they really like it, they'll buy it and add it to their library. And that's, I think, what a lot of us do. But I've certainly found a lot of great authors myself. Right now, I'm reading a fantasy story that's basically a retelling of the Black Swan ballet. And it's fascinating. And it's all about mages and magic and, you know, shifters. And I love stuff like that. And I would have never read that had somebody not suggested it online.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because there are so many opportunities to take stories and not retell them in an inventive new way. So it's not just telling the same old story, but taking a story and saying, you know, I've got this viewpoint on how this should go, and I'm going to do a little twist on it. And it sounds like you do that in Spectral Vibrations too. It's like you bringing elements from different things. You've got the new age aspect, the sci-fi aspect, a little bit of fantasy, and then the reverse harem underlying storyline. There's a lot going on there, but it gives you an opportunity to pull all these various interests together into one book.
It's true. And I think that when I think about a lot of my favorite authors, if you take somebody like Alona Andrews for urban fantasy.
Oh, definitely.
You take Alona Andrews and her Kate Daniels series is very specific to one type of urban fantasy. But then you go to their Innkeeper series, and it has a little bit of that urban fantasy twist, and it mixes it with the sci-fi aspects. I think that's one of the ones that really stuck in my head. I love their Innkeeper series because I love how they do mix Earth and space together. And it doesn't have to be such a strong divide. It goes pretty seamlessly back and forth from Earth to space with the different influences. Somebody else that does that really well is Devin Monk. And her books just always fascinate me. She has one that's a very strong urban fantasy series about present day magic users and how it's being privatized by major corporations. And then she has another one that's almost a steampunk series, and then one that's a very current urban fantasy that has much more of a romantic and lyrical edge. So I love authors that can span those different types of delicacies within the genres, and again, kind of mash them up or create different identities for their writing and their books. And I think that's what I'm really aspiring to do with my own stories, and find a path where I can write each of those different types of things. I can write contemporary romance. I can write sci-fi fantasy. I can build that bridge with my readers and still have them follow me along the way.
No, it sounds great. And actually, I wrote Devin Monk down. I heard the name before, but haven't looked into any of her stuff. So I'm going to have to check that out. I'm an urban fantasy writer primarily, although I have a dystopian sci-fi series, and I have lit RPG series that's very popular. My latest series is kind of a cross of like game lit and urban fantasy, because I enjoy both so much. I had to meld them together, just like you said. I mean, it's that opportunity to pull things you enjoy into the same book and kind of add interesting twists to what people might expect.
The other thing is, you know, the other author that I just absolutely adore is Ann Bishop. Now, Ann Bishop in her Black Jewels series writes really high fantasy. But if you've ever read her Others series that starts with Written in Red, which is that series is, again, one of my all-time favorite series. It's so intricately plotted. And every story, no matter how many times you go back and reread it, you will find something new in those characters. And it has a very strong moral internal line through it about morality and acceptance and all of those different things in society and governing, etc., all wrapped up in just great urban fantasy. So again, it's taking some of these writers who just have managed to make that switch from one type of genre to another. I haven't read a lot of lit RPG. That's another one in gaming stories. That's one that really fascinates me, Jamie, that I really want to start kind of delving into next as a reader. What brought you to that?
Well, I've been a gamer all my life. I've played Dungeons and Dragons since I actually have somewhere in my basement the original like 3-book paperback set of rules for Dungeons and Dragons. And I've been playing ever since. And so I've always been intrigued by stories where gamers somehow crossed into their worlds, you know, into their gaming worlds. And so it's everybody's says it's the new biggest thing, but actually it's been around for years. I mean, Tron back in the late 70s, early 80s was game lit, was lit RPG. It was somebody getting sucked into their game and having to play their way out of it. There's books throughout like the 80s that kind of touch on that topic. And I've always read them. So when I heard about this genre coming out, I'd already written a couple of urban fantasy series, and I was like, you know, I'm just going to dive in. And so I wrote basically a Dungeons and Dragons medieval fantasy where a guy, you know, is in this nowhere boring cubicle warrior job, and his wife goes away for the weekend with their baby, and he buys a bootleg game and ends up, of course, because he bought the bootleg game, he gets sucked into the world and then has to find his way home again. And so it's a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. I don't have a lot of stats. I have, you know, one of the things that distinguishes it is that you actually see some of the game notifications in the text. And I tried to do enough of that to get the feel of the game without going absolutely crazy. Because some people actually have like all the charts and the, you know, the listings of all the classes in each level and what they can get and don't get. And I don't go as deep into it as that, but I do try to, err on the side of the story and telling a good story with gaming elements built into it. So it's a lot of fun. That's what drew me to it. And there's a lot of great books out there. I mean, I can think of authors like Dakota Crout or James Hunter that have just written amazing lit RPG stories that are just a lot of fun. My Accidental series is fun. Actually, I actually wrote a trilogy and then had the grown-up daughter find the old game in the attic, and then she gets sucked into the game when she's a teenager. So I get to go back to the world and revisit it from a different viewpoint in a different character class and go through the whole thing all over again. So it was kind of fun.
See, I love that. And that's another thing that I've been really playing with in my stories, even stories that seem somewhat unrelated. I like to throw Easter eggs in and references to other characters and other stories, even if they don't directly relate. I think it's fun for your readers if suddenly they stumble across a reference to another character that they might have loved somewhere else, just to realize that that character still lives somewhere after their book, whether it be in another universe or just somewhere down the line.
Well, I enjoy dropping pop culture references into my stories just to see if people pick up on them. In the second Accidental trilogy, the main character, Carrie, actually becomes a pirate for like one whole book. She gets her own ship and her crew and everything. And she decides to call herself the Dread Raider Carrie. And I thought, I waited to see if anybody picked up on that, right? And people just loved it. You know, I got all kinds of comments and reviews and just people enjoyed that little gems that I would drop in like that. So that whole series has a bunch of Princess Bride references in it.
See, I love that, because even in the new contemporary romance that I'm writing, there is a character who's British and he's a former rock star, and I made him from the band Driveshaft. So we'll see how many people pick up on that, because I had gone through and binge watched all 6 seasons of Lost.
Oh, wow.
So suddenly that was in my head. And I thought, well, let's just throw him out there. There was a missing member of the band. Let's just see if we throw, you know, that reference in here, how many people who loved that show will remember or think, oh, my God, wait a minute, Driveshaft, that's the missing band member.
Oh, that's great. So I was never a Lost fan, so I didn't. That just completely went over my head. But I know people that are like obsessed with Lost, even to this day, and I have a feeling they would dive into that and just love it.
Yeah, you know, and there's a bald character, and it's, you know, holy Jean-Luc Picard, what the hell happened here? You know, it's just references like that that you just want to put in and have fun with and play with.
Absolutely. I noticed that you actually have like public playlists on Spotify that go with some of your books, I'm assuming. Tell me a little bit about how that goes over with your fans.
So actually, that's another really interesting thing for me, Jamie, is music is really just one of my passions. And I love, for me, you know, some people when they're writing their books, you'll see out on Facebook in the different author groups. In my author group, nobody's looking for mood boards. I just don't do them well. I actually have another author friend who makes mood boards for me for my books. She alpha reads for me, and then she'll go out and create a mood board because I just suck at them. But I love music. And for me, what inspires me when I'm writing is different songs, especially lyrically. I like to have the actual words and lyrics match the story. So for every book that I've written, and actually I used to beta read for some other authors, I used to go out and make playlists for their books too, just because music inspires me. So I always make sure that, especially within my group or when I'm doing takeovers, et cetera, I make those playlists available. I have a link tree that goes to my Spotify. Sometimes I'll put it out on Twitter or other places publicly as well. But I always reference it in the back of my ebooks. And I just think that a lot of my readers really enjoy having that link to the book and understanding from a mood standpoint and also lyrically where my head was when I was writing the book. And it is, like I said, just something that inspires me. Music in books is really important, like Ellie Modesitt, The Spell Song War.
Oh, absolutely.
I love that series because it's about music and it's about somebody singing and it's about, you know, how the words and the music gave them such power. So I always go back to certain things like that, and that's how it creeps into my work, is through playlists.
Yeah, I actually make playlists for different books and different scenes that I'm writing, because it just fits. You know, I need to like be in a certain mode when I'm writing certain types of scenes, and I have different playlists for that. And I've shared some of them. I actually work with my daughter to put together playlists, because a lot of my urban fantasy characters are like young 20-ish women heroes, and you know, I try to find out what would they be listening to, right? And so my daughter will put together a playlist, and I'll publish it in my Facebook group and stuff, and say, here's so and so's playlist, here's Quinn's playlist, and people are like, oh, that's really cool. And I the fun thing is, I listen to it and I'm like, oh yeah, this is spot on. So
yeah, and I'm going to say I'm the old lady of the group too when it comes to writing. A lot of the other writers that I associate with are much younger. But that being said, my musical tastes are all across the board. You'll find old school CSN and Carole King mixed up with Billie Eilish or Alice in Chains or Incubus for me. I love alt music. I like things that are moody. I love Imagine Dragons. So most of my playlists are pretty eclectic. And most of the people in my Facebook readers group are pretty eclectic as well. Back in September, we actually did a song challenge. It was a 30-day song challenge. So every single day there was a theme, and I posted a song and invited people to put their pick up against mine. At the end, at the end of the month, we had over 250 songs that we had gathered. And one of my readers in my readers group actually went out and did the Spotify playlist of all those songs. So the one that says Life of a Mercenary, because that's what I call my readers and my group, my mercenaries, that is a Spotify playlist from everything compiled from my readers in one entire month.
You know, it's funny. I saw that you called your group that, and I absolutely love authors that come up with clever ways to like use their name or use their one of their series as a driver for like a really cool name for their reader group. I mean, mine's just called Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers, because it's just where I talk about all kinds of fantasy books, not just my own. But so I like having people in there that like reading fun fantasy. So that's all I could come up with. You guys that come up with like mercenaries, that's just awesome.
Well, my readers group is called Merciful Haven, because it is meant to be a haven for any type of reader who just likes to read in any type of book. And I allow different authors to promo in there and drop in, you know, new releases, et cetera, because I read everything. I read YA fiction. You know, again, I read urban fantasy. I read dark. I don't write dark books, but I'll read some dark books. You know, I like traditional romance. I certainly love high fantasy, urban fantasy. I like it to be a little bit of everything. So I started calling my people minions, but there were a lot of minions out there. And then I suddenly realized, no, they're mercenaries. You know, that's who my crew is. And I also, I don't know if you saw on Instagram, I do a video every Tuesday, which we call Car Talks. It's Car Talk Tuesday that I record on Snapchat on my way to work in the car. So I literally just had the 1-year anniversary of Car Talks this week, and did my 52nd video of the year, which was pretty funny.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Also, I got to give you kudos for your Spotify list. You said you were eclectic, but good grief. You've got Tom Jones and Billie Eilish and Heart in the same playlist. And I'm like looking at that going, that I got to listen to this. So I'll be listening to that when I get done tonight. I think I'm going to put that in my Spotify account and listen to it.
And that one is growing, because that's for the one that I'm launching this spring. That's for the new contemporary romance. So that one is coming up. I haven't started the one for Cadence and Time yet. And the one you'll see, obviously, you can see the one for Spectral Vibrations. But even that has old school Cyndi Lauper mixed with Muse and all kinds of other weird people in there. But
you got Chicago and Incubus and James Taylor and Oasis. I mean, good grief. This is awesome.
Hey, music makes me happy. So, you know, it's just, I go back to those things that make me happy, even in my book. So when we're looking at the new book that I'm writing, I did last week, because everybody's home now and social distancing and feeling a little disconnected, I did a live read of my newest WIP, completely unedited, but I gave them two chapters and I read it to them live for half an hour just to give people a flavor of what was coming. And we have a lot of fun with things like that within the group. But I like to build those connections for people, even in spectral vibrations. When we get to Earth, the story is set in Sedona. Why Sedona? Well, a couple of different reasons. Because Sedona is known for its spiritual power. People believe it's on the same ley lines as Stonehenge and potentially the Great Pyramid. So I said, well, so why can't it also be on a ley line and an energy line that links it to outer space in Chrysalis? So Chrysalis is now in the universe of Sedonia, is the galaxy that it's in. Sedona is on Earth, going to be its link. And, you know, again, it's Sedona. If you've ever been, have you ever been to Sedona, Jamie?
I have not.
Oh my God. One of my favorite places on Earth. If you like to hike, just the hiking alone is amazing, is absolutely amazing. But Sedona is known as being one of those natural places where there are different energy vortexes. So it just made sense to have that portion of the story on Earth there, because if the whole story was about frequency and energy, which also goes back to, okay, I'm going to show my age here again, Barbara Streisand, What's Up, Doc? Do you remember that movie?
You know, you say you're of an age. I think we're of an age.
Yes. Okay. So there you go.
Yeah. I used to watch those shows, those movies that would come on like Sunday, like late morning, early afternoon.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
All those old, quote unquote, old movies. But yeah, all the Barbara Streisand movies, she was hilarious.
She was. In those movies. And that particular movie was all about, she had the fiance who his whole theory that he was, whatever you call it, like, I forget. It was his theory. He was being given an award for his igneous rocks and how they had harmony and different tonal qualities. And it was all about the energy. So even weird things like that creep into my stories and end up having some influence on how I create these concepts. Because some people were like, okay, where did this story even come from? And like I said, it's just a mashup. My brain is a very dangerous place.
That's a good thing for an author, though. I really believe that. We're going to have to get out of here, but I've had a blast chatting with you, Mercy. Tell folks where the best place for them to find you is online. Do you prefer Facebook? Do you, you know, where's the best place to say, I got to find this lady?
Well, you can always follow me on Facebook. I do have a Facebook page for Mercy DeSimone Author. If you're a reader, I have a Facebook group called Merciful Haven. But again, I will tell you that as an RH author, occasionally some risque things slip in there. If you just want to follow the journey and know where to find new books as they're being released, certainly BookBub is always a great place. I have a profile out there. I have a fan newsletter you can sign up for. So there's always different places to find me. Follow, you know what? I'm on every platform. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram if you want to see a video every Tuesday from my car. I'm pretty much everywhere. I'm everywhere that anybody wants to be.
Isn't that the best way to do it? I think that's great. Mercy, thanks for coming on the show. It's great having you here. I think people are going to enjoy this. I urge people to get out there and check out your book. It's important to try new things right now. I think it's important to expand our horizons when we're stuck inside. So Spectral Vibrations, Mercy DeSimone, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Jamie. I had a blast.
And that's going to wrap up this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. Make sure you catch up with us for a whole lot more from the fantasy and sci-fi focused community, both on Facebook and over at fantasy-focus.com. Make sure you leave a comment on this episode and let me know what's on your mind. Also on the website, at each podcast episode post, you'll find links that show you how to subscribe to the show. It's really just a one-click situation, whether you're an iOS, Android. You can even subscribe by email if you want. But make sure you do that. You don't want to miss any of our upcoming episodes. We have some pretty awesome authors already scheduled for the next few months, and you don't want to miss any of them, including our next episode with Destin Munden. I know you're going to love it. I had a great time chatting with him. That's it for this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jamie Davis, author of Fun Fantasy Reads. Don't forget to follow me over on Facebook at Jamie Davis Books or on my Facebook fan group over at Jamie Davis's Fun Fantasy Readers and my website, jamiedavisbooks.com. And if you want to get a free book while you're over at my website, you can do that. Just sign up for the newsletter and you get to pick a free book to read. Whatever you do, though, subscribe and come back here for the next podcast. In the meantime, I will remind you, as I always do, keep your eyes open, folks. There's magic all around you.